Your Money Replay from Money FM 89.3. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Money and Me. I'm Michelle Martin. Good morning. So many of you have said, you know, there have been a spate of PMD fires. How do we better protect our homes, especially if we live in HDB flats? Well, we've taken your question and we've built an entire show of insurance around it. And joining me is Cassandra Wee, Chief Distribution Officer of SingSaver. So today, all questions to do with insurance, you can send our way at 9717-8893. Cassandra, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good of you to be here. So insurance is a big financial concern for a lot of people. It can stretch in terms of commitment horizon from 10 years to 20 years. So what is a general rule of thumb with insurance for deciding what you should spend on, what's necessary and what is not? So, you know, on the show, we always talk about the difference between needs and wants, right? So with insurance, when do you know you have enough coverage?
Okay, so it's always looking at needs, wants, and of course, budget. I have lots of wants, but my budget is limited.
That's true.
Yes. So what I always tell my customers when I was an advisor is that there are so many things that you want and so many things that you think you need. But first of all, tell me what's your budget, because insurance is a lifetime commitment. We always talk about save, protect and grow.
Yes.
When you save a little bit, make sure you protect what you have before growing it.
Oh, okay. That's a great rule of thumb. Yeah. What is your budget? And then you want to protect what you have before you grow it, before you spend, I suppose, on investment.
Yes.
Okie dokie. So what are some common mistakes, Cassandra, that people make when they purchase insurance products?
One of the most common mistakes is that hearsay, because when I used to be an advisor, I would share with my customers what are the plans. We look at what's their goal, what's their time horizon, how much they have, and what's the life situation now. Am I married with kids? Am I somebody young or in my career starting up? Or am I somebody in my retirement age? Because all these, they have very different time to grow their money or to protect their money, as well as the needs and wants at different life stages is so different. And one of the most common mistakes people made is, I hear from you and I'll go and talk to my friend. So one of the most common joke I always ask, so is your friend in insurance? And most of the time I know my friend, he's a salesperson selling electrical appliances. I was like, oh great, so he's good at what he's doing, but he might not give you the best advice in insurance.
Yeah.
Talk to your banker, advisor that you trust, and always take your time to consider, because I'm sure you meet a lot of advisors during roadshows. You know, when you go shopping, somebody approach you, say, hey, would you like a free $5 NTUC voucher? Just sit down for a consultation. And most of the time, they're like, assume close you to make you buy on the spot. You always have 14 days to think about it. And even after you have paid your premiums, you can always cancel it and get back the money that you paid within 14 days.
Yeah.
Even after you receive your documents.
Yeah. A real think through period before then. Good to highlight that. From your professional perspective, Cassandra, do you think people these days view insurance more as a tool to protect their wealth or as a means for investment?
From my experience, I think that it's actually 50-50. So as I said earlier, it's save, protect and grow. So first of all, protect what you have before you grow it. But insurance is still a pretty conservative or two. So don't expect it to grow like 100% or 200% like stocks and shares, because that's the higher risk component. Mm-hmm. Whereas insurance is, there's some risk in terms if you purchase an investment insurance plan or an endowment plan. But there's always a time horizon, and compared to just buying stocks and shares, the risk level is different. So it depends on the risk appetite of each individual.
Yep, important to consider risk. So the questions are coming in. Question from a listener. What insurance should we get for our baby? Are there any recommended plans for a children's education plan?
The first thing I always recommend our parents to buy is, once your child is born, get a health plan. Because when a baby is born, the baby is in relatively good health. Within 10 to 15 days, you could actually get the baby insured with a health plan. And that covers the baby, you know, as long as you renew it yearly, it covers the baby from like 15 days all the way until he's grown up. You can take over the plan and until he's old. Because a baby at 15 days old is relatively healthy. So Melissa was asking about education plan.
Any recommended plans for children's education?
Buy within your budget and buy early. Because when you buy early, there's a time for you to grow. Let's say if the kid is 5 versus the kid is 18. When the kid is 18, he or she is going to university in 2 or 3 years' time. That might not be enough time for the value to grow. Versus when my kid is 5, when I buy it now, there's like another 10
so you're,
to 15 years.
You're recommending they tailor make a plan. Sit down with a consultant.
Yes, sit down with a consultant. Share with him or her your budget. What you want for your child. The most important is to work within a budget. Because I might want to send my kids to law school and all this, but if my budget is $100 or $200 a month, let your advisor work out a reasonable plan for you. And that's comfortable because, you know, when your parents, there's so many commitments that you have to pay for.
Yep.
Make sure the budget is really comfortable and you can maintain it for the next 5 to 10 years. Which you have to pay the premium.
Great question. Thank you so much. Tell me, Cassandra, if we looked at an investment-linked policy, what are your views on mixing investment and an insurance policy?
It's still back to the risk appetite. So investment-linked policies, or call them ILP for short,
okay.
They have a really bad name, you know.
Yeah, ILP.
But the thing is that the budget to start off with is small. From something like $100 to $200 a month, you can actually start off on an ILP.
Okay.
But the downside is that because it buys into funds, it's an investment-linked product. So it depends on the market. Actually, I can share a story. One of my girlfriend.
Yes.
What she did was she met up with an agent.
Okay.
So she heard about this plan, which is so good. And after 2 or 3 years, she could actually get some cash value to do what she likes. So no, girls being girls, they chef all their girlfriends. And when she told me, hey, you know, it's good. I got like $6,000 to do my teeth. I was like, cool, what plan is that? She's like, I'm not sure, but it gives me $6,000 after 3 years. And they're like, it's the best plan in the world because, you know, after 3 years, I get some money, not like something that you have to wait for 10 or 15 years.
Right.
So when I asked her, can you show me the documents? It was an investment linked plan.
Uh-huh.
And I actually told her, sister, you know, you could get this money because the economy is doing well now. What if 10 years down the road and you actually need the money for retirement and the economy crashes? You might not get back any money, and we should then say it's a lousy plan.
Right. Did that deter her, or was the lure of the $6,000 enough and she signed on?
She still liked the $6,000.
She liked the $6,000. People like the idea of cashing out in a couple of years, yeah, right?
And as soon as possible.
Yeah, but you must keep in mind that that is what some of these investment-linked plans will lure you with, so that you forget the long-term risk.
Another good story to share.
Okay.
One of my guy friends, yeah, she bought this investment-linked plan at a roadshow. So, of course, the lady agent is pretty. So he pays like $100 to $200 per month. He paid for like 5-6 years.
Okay, seems doable.
And one day he got cancer. And
he cancelled it? Or it was...
No, he got cancer. Okay. As in,
he contracted cancer.
He contracted cancer.
Okay.
And he doesn't have any plans, any insurance plans. And he actually found out that this plan he bought from a pretty lady,
yeah,
that he never thought of for the last 5 years,
mm-hmm,
actually pays out in the event of critical illness, which is cancer.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And he got 100K payout.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's something that is good to have, but you must be aware of your risk. It's good to start off. It's something small to start off, because my friend bought it when he was like 23, 25,
right,
out of NS.
So let me just clarify, with that particular example, it was an investment-linked plan with critical illness cover.
Yes.
They don't all come with that. So let's clarify, because we've done whole shows where we talk about investing in ETFs, and then midway during the show, somebody texts and says, what is an ETF? So what is an investment-linked policy? Let's get that clear.
Okay, I'll put it in an easier way. Let's say if you put in $100 to $200 every month, out of these $200, maybe 50% of it goes to investment. The other 50% goes to protecting you. So you could actually choose between a mix of investment, a little element of protection as well. So in the event that some events happen, let's say death, or in the case of my friend, critical illness happened, there's still a little payout.
Right. Okay. Very clear there. What advice do you have for our listeners, Cassandra? Should they be very keen? Because it sounds like the best of both worlds with investment-linked policy. A little bit going to investment, a little bit to protecting you. What advice would you have for them when purchasing or thinking about buying an ILP?
First of all, is that would you be the one to check whether are your funds doing well? Because ILP, you get your statements regularly. You'll see whether is it performing well. Can you switch your funds? You can always switch your funds. If I'm not wrong, they actually offer like free switching. Meaning if I buy A fund and the market is not doing well for A fund now, I could switch to a B fund. And it's free to switch the funds. But if I'm somebody who doesn't have the investment knowledge, I don't have a trusted advisor, and I just want to, you know, take things easy,
yeah,
then maybe an investment linked plan might not be the best choice for me. I could actually use the amount of money to start off with a term plan to protect myself, then look at some other avenues of growing the money, for example, an endowment plan.
Okay.
Some other plans, yep.
That's good advice, Cassandra. So let's talk about these other forms of insurance, because you mentioned term insurance. And there often is confusion about what exactly term insurance is and whether it really is more valuable than life insurance as we understand it.
Term insurance, as the name explains, is for a period. There's no value once after the period. So let's say I buy a term insurance. The most common term insurance Singaporeans we are familiar with is the home protection scheme that comes with HDB. Now, when you have a HDB flat, you have your mortgage, you use a CPF to buy this thing called a HPS or Home Protection Scheme. That is a term insurance, meaning for the next 20 or 25 years, if I pass on, it'll help me pay off my loan. If I don't pass on, at the end of the 20 or 25 years, I get nothing out of it. It's one of the cheapest form of protection insurance. It protects you.
And, you know, if you remortgage, is it linked to your bank? Say you switch banks because you want a better rate. Most of us buy home protection insurance because it's offered as part of our mortgage. So does that come along? How does that work?
So home protection scheme, which is offered by HDB and CPF board, is actually packed to your HDB. So if I remortgage or refinance my loan, it's fine. But once I sell away my HDB flat, then I have to reconsider. So when I was an advisor, or even for myself, when I got my first house, what I did was, I know I was in relatively good health at the age of 30 then. I got a protection plan from one of the insurer for 1 million, although my loan wasn't that much. But I know that when I grow older, I might want to have a second property, I might upsize because of kids, and that 1 million protection is enough to cover me until 75 years old. So what I did was I bought a lever term of 1 million coverage until I'm 75. So if I pass on anytime between 30 years old and 75 years old, I'll get 1 million payout. If I pass on at 76, too bad, I get nothing.
Ah, okay.
But it actually saves me the hassle of buying another plan when I'm older and my health might not be that good.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay, I get the thinking there. Okay, so here's a question. What is the difference between endowment and insurance plans?
An endowment plan is an insurance plan, which is what your bankers and your agents will usually quote it as, like savings. I'll put quotation mark because it's not a pure savings plan. There's some element of savings and some element of insurance. So, for example, an endowment plan. Let me do some comparison.
Okay, sure.
If I put $200 into my bank account,
okay,
for a couple of years, it's like $200 times how many months, you know, that's what I'll get at the end of it, times maybe a 0.25 interest.
Okay.
If I get an endowment plan, let's say it's a 10-year plan, what they usually do is if I pay for X number of years, this amount of money, if I pass on during these 10 years, which is the policy term, I'll get a death benefit payout. However, if I pay for the full 10 years and I survive the 10 years, there's a maturity benefit at the end of it, which is most of the time is a little bit more than the premiums that you have paid. So what I always share with my friends, you know, whenever we have our salary that comes in, it goes into our bank account. And the next moment, if you see a bag or something that you like, you just get the money out.
That's
and buy it.
It's gone.
But when it goes into this endowment plan, it's a forced way of savings, because if you terminate the plan during the term, like the 10 years, anything shorter than that, you might not get back what you put in.
Okay.
So that's why I always share that insurance is a long-term commitment. Think of your budget before you, hey, I want to get it.
Yeah, make it affordable and easy, I suppose, for yourself with your cash flow, right?
Yes.
Speaking of cash flow, is there cash flow insurance in Singapore? Something that kicks in should you lose your job or should your cash flow be affected?
Okay, there's something called disability insurance. It covers you in the event that you are disabled. So one of the most common ones that the government scheme is our ElderShield. So what ElderShield, and if you like to opt for ElderShield supplement, you can get it from some of the insurers,
yep,
in Singapore.
Yep.
It's like a disability payout in the event that somebody cannot perform 3 of the 6 activities of daily living. The government scheme ElderShield will pay out a certain amount. The activities of daily living will be things that we do every day.
Yeah.
Let me see what I can remember. It's something like, okay,
bathing.
If I wake up, I should be able to get myself out of the bed right. onto a wheelchair, get myself to the toilet. That's, okay, mobility, transferring. When I'm in the toilet, I must be able to, like, shower, dress, feed myself. So look for the six activities of daily living is inside the definition.
Okay.
And if you can't perform three out of six, the ElderShield scheme will pay out. But the ElderShield scheme is only available to Singaporeans and PRs who's above a certain age.
And then besides that, there's also private insurers that provide disability insurance.
Yes, there are. So you can get it from the insurers. So by paying a premium, if it covers the if it can't perform certain activities,
yep.
there's still a payout. But if it's per se against losing my job, unemployment, yeah. then not really.
Okay. So your cash flow is yours to manage.
Yes.
Really, there's no insurance for that. Okay, so if we come back with home protection schemes, which is the reason why we're doing this show, there seems to be quite a few incidents of home fires caused by the personal mobility devices. And I was just reading about a warehouse in Bukit Batok, and it burned, you know, quite badly. There was quite a blaze because it was storing PMDs and a lot of electronic equipment. They're still looking for the cause of the fire, but still, PMDs in the news, and people asking, what other home protection schemes that cover fires caused by maybe my neighbor's flat?
Let's say if I'm staying in a HDB.
Yeah.
The most common fire insurance is the one that, you know, you get it together with your loan or from HDB. That's the basic form of fire insurance. It protects like the structure and that's it. So should I get a home insurance, or we'll call it a home content insurance? It depends on, most of us will have done some renovations to your house. Your furniture might cost a little bit. So in view of this, it's good to get a home content insurance.
Uh-huh.
And that actually covers you in the event of fire, theft. And the question is, what if the fire breaks out in my neighbor's house?
Yeah, because we live in flats, right? Yeah.
So your home content insurance, the beautiful thing about an insurance is that if the fire spreads to a house,
yep.
yes, the insurance will pay out. And the insurance company will actually look for like what happened, what's the cost, and do the costing themselves. Like, who should I ask to pay me? But it's none of my business. I get my payout to renovate my house.
Okay, so
that's the beauty.
I think the listener asking this question was wondering whether there's any difference in terms of the floor that you live in when it comes to wanting to protect your house against these fires. Say you live on the top floor, and so there's a greater chance of somebody living beneath you causing a fire. Can you expect to pay more for home protection schemes?
I will make a difference between home protection scheme and home content insurance.
Home content insurance, yeah.
Home protection scheme or HPS is the one that's being offered by HDB. It covers
it's just
the
linked
loan.
To your flat. Yeah.
So a home content insurance, it covers you on like a guest flyer or flats. So in terms of HDB, there's not much difference. It usually depends on the size of the flat. And if you stay in a landed, maybe there's a greater risk of floods. So these are things to look for. Usually it's the size of the property, the type of the property. And the third one, of course, is whether you are a tenant or a landlord.
Okay, really great. Do people, when they sit with you for lunch and dinner, constantly bombard you with insurance questions?
It's something I'm really passionate about.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. That's what I can see that you live in. Okay, let's switch tacks a little bit from home insurance protection to factors that maybe men and women need to consider differently when it comes to buying insurance.
Well, one of the fact is that women will live longer.
We're going to outlive our spouses, chances are.
Yes, and so what's next for us? What if I outlive my resources? Like, who do I depend on for living? You know, there used to be saying that we always depend on our kids, but nowadays standards of living is so high, we might not be able to depend on our kids anymore. So as women, one of the things to consider is that what's next for my retirement planning? Health as well, because we take care of our kids, we take care of our families, but what about our own health? There are lots of plans on the market too. Some of them actually cares, like they take care of like women's health.
Yes, in particular, yeah.
So what I would suggest to my female customers when I was an advisor is to look for, back again, it depends on your budget. Get a critical illness plan to cover yourself. Make sure it covers some of the women's illnesses as well. If not, get a plan to cover women's illnesses.
Okay, great. Yeah. And well, think of retirement. 75% of people in Singapore, according to a survey that I was just looking at, say that they are behind in their retirement planning. So if you're behind, A, you're not alone. But B, if you're a woman, it's even more imperative that you start planning for yourself, yes. Given how long we're going to live. Thank you so much, Cassandra, for joining us. Cassandra Wee is Chief Distribution Officer from SingSaver. And thank you for all your questions. We may not have been able to get through all of them, but we appreciate them. You've been listening to Money and Me, I'm Michelle Martin.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.